I'm very tempted to say something about that gospel reading that Eileen read. I love that story of the wise and foolish virgins. But I'm not going to. I mean, the message of it is clear, I'm sure, that we need to stay alert, stay awake. We're all invited to the wedding feast of the kingdom. Don't miss out. We're all invited. Don't miss out. Keep alert and awake. Anyway, I'm not going to say anything about that because that's a whole other story. But I do want to talk fairly obviously, perhaps, about today. Last Monday, Jane and I went to see the poppies at the Tower. How many of you have been, actually? Give us a look at that. Loads of you. Brilliant. And I'm sure you were as moved by it as we were. Not only by the crowds of poppies, the sea of red around the Tower. That's a sort of before and after picture, half and half. So you can see the difference it's made to the aerial view of the Tower of London. Poppies all round it. And of course, when they started putting them out, there were only a few. And gradually the numbers have increased until now it's a sea of red all the way around. And frankly, there's also a sea of people all the way around it. And not just from Britain, but people are travelling from across the world, from Singapore, from Australia. They're coming to see this. It's quite remarkable, isn't it, the effect that it's having on people. And I'm sure each of you who've been to see it could tell your own story. There is something about those poppies that draws people, isn't there? One for every Briton who died in the Great War. Nearly a million of them around the Tower. It's an awesome sight. And this season of remembrance is somehow becoming more and more significant year on year. And do you know, nobody can quite put their finger on why, on what it is that's driving it, on why people are becoming more and more, I think, respectful, why this is becoming more and more important to us. For the next 4 years, in fact, until the centenary of the armistice itself on the 11th of November 2018, I think we're going to be hearing a lot of stories about what they used to call the war to end all wars. Oh, we wish it had, don't we? We wish it had done that. So now we more commonly call it the Great War because of the vast numbers of people who died in it. From Britain alone, 888,246. And the last poppy will be planted on Tuesday, on the 11th itself. I said they died. I don't like modern phrases like past or passed away or passed over. Euphemisms, circumlocutions, weasel words, I think, trying to avoid mentioning death. Maybe because our culture is frightened of it, in denial about it somehow. I think those phrases actually come from the spiritualists who try to convince people that death and life is all one, a continuum. But Christians know that death is very real. That's partly why we remember on this day. Jesus died too. Paul describes death as the last enemy to be destroyed. But Jesus has blazed a path through death into eternal life. He has drawn the sting of death. You remember Paul said, "Death, oh, where is your victory? Where, oh, death, is your sting?" So I say, what's wrong with the word died? Let's be straight. Let's be brave. Let's speak the truth. To be honest, the New Testament expression is fell asleep or fell asleep in the Lord. What does the Bible mean by that phrase? What happens when we die? And what is the Christian hope of eternal life? You'll see from the front of our notice sheet, that's my title for today. Well, I think there are two stages to answer that. The first stage is now. before Christ returns. We speak of people who've died as having gone to heaven, if they're Christians. We speak of life after death. And I think that sleep is actually a good analogy of that. A pleasant everyday experience, which we even look forward to. I'm tired and I just want to drop off to sleep. I drift away and the next thing I know, it's morning. For those who might sit beside me through the night, it seems like an age, doesn't it, through the night hours. But for the one who falls asleep, you remember Jesus said to the thief beside him on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." We wake up and it's morning. That's the first stage. The second stage is after Christ returns, when God creates a new heaven and a new earth. And we're all awaiting what Tom Wright calls life after death, which the Apostles' Creed calls the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. That's what Martha meant. Do you remember when Lazarus died in the Gospels and Martha came out to meet Jesus? And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "Oh, I know he'll rise again at the resurrection on the last day." But Jesus actually meant something different. He meant sooner than that. He meant today Lazarus will rise. But Martha's answer gives us a clue that the Jews in those days believed in a general resurrection at the last day. That's what Stanley Spencer painted. Perhaps some of you have seen the painting of the resurrection at Cookham with the dead rising from the graves. That's why our graves face east, so the dead can see their Lord coming with the sunrise. It's why our churches face east. And that's why I think the inscription RIP is actually incomplete. It's only the first stage. The full saying should be, "Rest in peace and rise in glory," because that's what's going to happen. So the Christian hope of eternal life is first of all heaven, followed by the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. By the way, when the Bible talks of the Christian hope, it doesn't just mean, "Oh, I do hope so," like wishful thinking. Like people say, "Oh, I hope my numbers come up one day." Biblical hope is in the future. It's got that commonality, but it's certain. Certain as the sunrise. The sun will rise tomorrow. And why is it certain? Because it's promised by God, and God is faithful. Hebrews 11 says this: "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Peter, in his speech to the crowd, he quoted King David in Psalm 16. David said, "My body will rest in hope because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead." Later on in Acts, Paul says, "I stand before you on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead." And Paul speaks of setting our hope on God. He speaks of hoping in Christ and of that hope being reliable and certain. Do you remember Christian Aid's slogan a few years back? They said, "We believe in life before death." Do you remember that? And what they were saying was, you all talk about life after death as what Christians believe in. But they were saying that a lot of Christian Aid's work, the aid work done by Christians, is to help the living, to alleviate poverty and suffering. A lot of our work is now, in this life. It's not just pie in the sky when we die. And I think that slogan has a message for us too. that when we become Christians, when we start following Jesus Christ, then eternal life begins at that moment. We form a connection with God in heaven. And we begin to pray the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." We begin that work of bringing heaven to earth. Jesus proclaimed, "The kingdom is near you. It's outside, just outside the door." And Jesus began the kingdom people. He began with his disciples, his followers, and he continues with us here today and Christians across the world. So you could even say that the Christian hope of eternal life has three stages. The Christian life here and now on earth, connected to heaven, making a bridge, if you like, with heaven, and seeking to bring God's kingdom in on earth as it is in heaven. Secondly, life after death, with Christ in heaven, leaving our physical bodies here on earth. But then thirdly, when Christ returns, and when he unites heaven and earth in a new creation, what Tom Wright calls life after death, which the Creed calls the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Revelation, the last book of the Bible, describes how the heavenly city, New Jerusalem, comes down out of heaven, down to earth, and God dwells with his people forever in a united creation, heaven and earth together. The last chapter of Revelation describes it so vividly. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Won't that be wonderful? That will literally be a day to end all wars, because God decrees it to be so. Isn't that something to look forward to? A true Christian hope of when all war and suffering will be taken away, and when we will live with our God forever. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank you for this day when we remember the sacrifice of those who have died. Thank you most of all for our Lord Jesus Christ, who died that we might be forgiven and know eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Amen.